Dr. Hennessey, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you do when Michigan plays Michigan State, or as you have a son at Notre Dame, when MSU and Michigan play Notre Dame? Who do you root for?
Well, it's hard to say. I guess deep down, I'm still a Wolverine at heart. I hate to admit it, but sometimes it depends on the sport. We have season tickets to MSU women's basketball, and we're big fans, and I do find myself rooting against Michigan in that context. But we just enjoy the games.
Well, let's talk about the allergy season in the fall. As you know, because you are my allergy physician, my allergies are in the spring, but in talking with a lot of folks, and let's throw me into that mix too, Dr. Hennessey, there's a lot of nasty allergy bugs out there right now. What's going on? Because my nostrils are about to fall off.
Well, we're having a particularly bad ragweed season this year, and ragweed is a fall or late summer pollen. Allergenic pollen. There's probably more ragweed in the upper Midwest than any other place in the world. The type of ragweed we have around here produces a lot of pollen, and it tends to be very allergenic. And typically starts up in mid-August and peaks in early September, right around Labor Day and on for a couple weeks thereafter. It's a very common weed, and it typically requires fairly warm temperatures for it to grow and do really well. When we get a lot of rain in the spring, a lot of the seeds germinate. But unlike last year, when we also had a wet spring, this year we had a very hot, very warm, humid summer, and so there were excellent growing conditions for ragweed, and we saw an abundance of ragweed pollen this year. And there's going to be some of it in the air probably until frost. Most of it's gone by late September, early October. But until we get a good frost, which I believe in this area averages about October 9th, there's still going to be some in the air.
Have you seen an increase in patients that you've been seeing this month?
Oh, yes. We've had people come in who haven't had problems in years, people who haven't really had eye problems. We've seen people who haven't wheezed in years because of their allergies who are wheezing this year. So it's been a pretty bad fall.
So in addition to seeking out the medicines that may help you with this, what can folks do to calm the effects of this ragweed?
Well, the only way to completely avoid it is to stay indoors in air conditioning, which limits contact with, which does a pretty good job of keeping indoor pollen levels low, but that's not always practical. If you have a choice between outdoor activity in the morning or evening, most plants release pollen in the morning. Peak levels usually occur mid to late morning. It's a good idea not to hang clothing outdoors during the season because that can trap pollen. Otherwise, there's not a whole lot you can do to avoid it, especially if you have to do outdoor activity. And there are medications now, both over-the-counter and prescription, that can be quite helpful.
And beyond that, you say that we can look forward to the frost for one good reason, because these allergies will be eliminated by then.
Yes, at least the pollen will. Mold, outdoor mold, will still be with us until the ground's frozen, usually sometime in November. And that tends to be bad in October, early November, especially if we get a lot of rain and the leaves are down. So the frost will take care of the pollen, but there's still going to be outdoor mold until we get a deep freeze, and then it's time for the indoor allergens like the dust mites and animal dander to take over.
Dr. Hennessey, one of the elementary schools with the Williamston schools had an issue with molds, and they had to get that taken care of. And from what I understand, when they tried to clean the carpet, the spores kind of kicked up, and they realized that they had to clean the air too. Talk about those kind of molds and how they affect people.
There are certain indoor molds that can be allergenic, and there have been other schools I'm aware of where there have been problems like that or other public buildings. Typically what happens is that there's a leak somewhere and you get moisture, and dampness allows the mold to grow and produce spores, and the people that are allergic to it will start having symptoms. The key thing is to try to eliminate anything that's contaminated, the carpeting or other places where deep-seated mold can reside, and then also just to dry the environment out, because if you reduce the humidity in the area to less than 50%, especially to 40% or less, then the mold stops releasing spores. So the key thing is identifying the source, preventing the leak, removing anything like the carpeting that's grossly contaminated, and then just making sure the area is dry and keeping it dry.
If the mold gets on a carpet or a rug, can it be clean enough to be used, or do you recommend that it just be taken out and you replace it?
Well, it probably depends on what type of on how bad the contamination is, because there's mold everywhere on everything. There are more mold spores in the air outside than there are pollen grains, even during the height of the ragweed season. And the key thing is not allowing the mold to grow. But if you have an area that's grossly contaminated where there's obvious visible mold or discoloration, it's probably best to remove that. Bleach and water does a good job to kill it. It doesn't leave a residual inhibitor. There are some mold inhibitors that you can get at home stores and other places that will leave a residual leave a residue that can inhibit the mold. Porous surfaces are the ones that are most difficult to deal with. If you have a solid surface, it's easier to kill and clean the mold. But if you have a porous surface that's really grossly contaminated, drying it out can help. But if that area gets damp or humid again, then the mold will come right back. So I think if you have a grossly contaminated carpet, it's probably best to replace it.
And Dr. Hennessy, I've got about 30 seconds left. Just wanted to get a brief comment on you about the new health care plan that is starting to be implemented. Got any take on that, how that's affecting your practice and the patients that you serve?
Well, not really yet. We're hoping that some of, as we move into the further into the information age and move to electronic medical records, we're hoping that some of the incentives will be helpful. We're also hoping that some of the features, such as not denying people coverage based on pre-existing conditions, or sort of trying to close the donut hole, if you will, it can hopefully be implemented.